So this is the last in our three-week series on the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer, of course, we find in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus is teaching the disciples. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the opening phrase, Our Father, and last week we talked about our daily bread. So today we come to the end of the prayer as Jesus taught it, and we're looking at the lines about forgiveness and temptation. So listen to this again in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we've also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So let us pray. God of wisdom, you promise to give your spirit to those who ask. Overwhelm us with your word, that we might know you more fully, love you more passionately, and follow you more closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I was planning this sermon series out back in April, there was a news story that was being featured at the time about an Iranian Muslim woman. 7 years ago, Bilal, who was in his 20s, stabbed 18-year-old Abdullah in a brawl that they got into in a bazaar. And under the Sharia law of retribution, Bilal was sentenced to death by public execution on the gallows. And the victim's family were to participate in Bilal's punishment by pushing away the chair on which he stood. And so the day had come for his execution. And the noose was round his neck. And the victim's mother approached him. And she slapped him in the face and decided to forgive her son's killer. And the victim's father removed the noose, and Bilal's life was spared. And Bilal's mother hugged the grieving mother, the mother of the man that her son had killed. And the two women sobbed in each other's arms. One who'd lost her son, and one whose son had been saved. How do we find it in our hearts to forgive something that huge? And can we really be forgiven if we botch up that badly? You know, forgiveness is a really huge topic. And that's without the rest of the lines of the prayer that I read on temptation. You know, I don't feel like I can possibly do justice to this topic today, and so I'm going to make some few comments. Perhaps it will be the subject of a longer sermon series in the future. I've never been in the situation where I have to forgive someone for something that is that huge, or had to be forgiven myself for killing or grievously injuring another person. But we all sin. We all make mistakes. We get things wrong. And we hurt others in the process. And I've certainly done that. Sin is missing the mark. We're all fallen people. We all need forgiveness. And we all have those that we need to forgive. And we're all tempted. Temptation is what draws us away from doing the right thing. Sometimes because it was just because we were not really thinking. And at other times, it's a conscious decision. And if we're not careful, we hang on to all our hurt and pain and guilt for all the wrong we've done. And then we end up carrying a really heavy backpack. There's the pebbles from the insults or the tiny jabs. How we treated the person at the cash register, or the way we snapped at our spouse. And there's the medium rocks, representing some more serious things. The lie that was not so little. The dishonest gain. And then there's the large rocks, the violations of trust, the kind that if they were found out would have some really bad consequences. And tell like the psalmist, we say, my guilt has overwhelmed me, like a burden too heavy for me to carry. Without forgiveness, there's an ever-widening gap between us and God, and us and other people. As this quote from Louise Smith says, you can't reach for anything new if your hands are still full of yesterday's junk. Psalmist puts it this way in Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. So far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. He removes our transgressions from us. This is God's extravagant grace that is in God's heart. It's something we know in our heads, and yet we struggle to accept it here in our hearts. But all we have to do is to express our repentance and then accept God's forgiveness. That's what God wants for all of us. In the prayer Jesus taught us, he says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Perhaps Jesus was originally referring to monetary debts, but it's also been taken over time to mean all sins. And we have that assurance that our sins will be forgiven, that there's nothing we can do that God will reject us for. But what about us forgiving others? How can we extend that grace we receive to others? Your forgiveness is a choice. We don't have to forgive someone who's hurt us. The decision is ours to make. We can't be commanded to do it. Forgiveness doesn't happen by accident. But it is a skill that we can learn. When we forgive, it releases our past in order to heal our present. Forgiveness is that feeling of peace that emerges. It means that even though you were wounded, you choose to hurt and suffer less. And your mental, emotional, and physical health improves. And forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to think that what happened was okay. Forgiveness doesn't mean condoning unkind, inconsiderate, or selfish behavior of the one who hurt you. Forgiveness doesn't mean giving up claims to justice or compensation. But the choice still remains as to whether you re-establish the relationship with the one who hurt you. But forgiveness is the way that Jesus taught us to move forward. The gospel writer Matthew tells us later in his gospel of this conversation in Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? And Jesus says to him, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. 70 times 7. But that's not our instinct. When someone wrongs us, it takes up a whole lot of space in our head. We go over it again and again and again, rehashing it and holding on to the feelings that it induces, anger, sorrow, and pain. We continue to rent space to the negative remaining upset and lose sight of the more positive things and the joy that they induce. Forgiveness is not renting out space to that person anymore. You know, one of the metaphors I like for forgiveness is that of a television set and a remote. When we watch the TV, we choose which programs to watch. We change the channel frequently. You watch a horror movie, maybe on Channel 6, and a love story on Channel 14, and a nature one on Channel 51, and so on. You determine what shows occur on your television set. So think of your mind as a television screen, constantly playing the story of the incident where you got hurt. Perhaps it's endless reruns of I Had Bad Parents, or Lousy, Rotten, Lying Bosses, or My Life is Unfair, or I Wasn't Invited to My Best Friend's Wedding. Can you use that remote control and tune in to some other channels? There's always the gratitude channel. You know, it plays at the supermarket with the abundance of food that was there. It plays out on the road as you watch people that do, the ones that do, follow the traffic rules. Or the beauty channel when you're on the road looking at the sky and the birds. Or the one that plays at the park as you look at young children playing in delight. Or the love channel, looking at people caring for others. And your memories, perhaps, of good times. The forgiveness channel as well, where there's inspirational stories of others who have forgiven. And if your remote is jammed, go and join a friend. Watch their television showing some other channels. No one can take from us where we place our attention. We alone control our remotes. And that habit of tuning in to the grievance channel, renting unlimited space to those who've hurt us, it can be unlearnt. In the words of Maya Angelou, who died this week, it's one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself to forgive. Forgive everybody. And so Jesus teaches us to pray. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We look at the cross and we see Jesus crying out, Father, forgive them. And then when we choose to show that same mercy, the image of God is seen within us. Thanks be to God. Amen.